earlier, we looked at that first element of happiness, or in our case of building resilience, which was emotional positivity. This afternoon, we're going to be looking at the other two factors, and I'll just put them up here. Hi, Sylvan. So just to remind you, engagement and meaning are the other two factors that we want to make sure are working effectively for our resilience skills. Let's see. Certainly, meditation techniques can work on some of these things directly. For example, you could use the nurture positive that we did this morning to work on feeling like we have control, that internal locus of control. You know, you could choose words like, I can do this, I got this, my actions are meaningful. There are different ways we can use meditation specifically on these, but a lot of these things here, the internal locus, social connections, attitude of exploration, living according to one's values, these things are perhaps more effectively, or at least you want to balance with some practical activities. And so that's what we're going to be doing in a minute, some journaling to look at some of these things. So let me just turn this off because I like to be able to see you. All right. So just as a reminder, having an internal locus of control is one of the two key things that was discovered in that 32-year-long study of children growing up in a lot of them in at-risk situations. There's the internal locus of control and connection. So the internal locus of control is that sense that you have some efficacy in your life. You have some control over what's going on. You're adaptable. You're not succumbing to a fatalistic view that you're just at the mercy of whatever's happening and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, we're not saying that you're going to be able to prevent a potentially traumatic event, or PTE, as you recall, we mentioned before lunch. An event is only traumatic once it's been defined by the person in it as traumatic, so a potentially traumatic event. It doesn't mean that you can stop that from happening or make it stop once it's started. But having an internal locus of control is going to allow you to still feel that you can do something in that situation. Small ways you can take care of yourself, or you can take care of others. Little steps you can take towards dealing with the consequences of the situation. And one of the best ways that I've discovered of learning to believe that you can actually achieve something is by actually achieving something. And then you can look back and see that you've done it, and that gives you a little momentum, and then you can do a little more. However, when you're in the midst of the challenge, it can be hard. You're getting very focused on the unpleasantness that's going on. It can be hard to remember what you've done. It can be hard to remember what to do. Some years ago, when I was struggling with some really bad depression, and I would just, day after day, I wouldn't know, I wouldn't believe I could do anything. I wouldn't know, if I could do anything, what that would be. So I created a list of things, and I stuck it on my wall, and I could see it every day. And it said simple things like, are you eating a good diet? Are you exercising? Are you talking to friends? Things that seem maybe like common sense. But when you're in the midst of a potentially traumatic experience, a PTE, common sense isn't so common. And that's not because we are stupid, it's because we are in crisis mode. And so it can help to have a list of things that you can stick on your wall or stick on your fridge that will help you to remember some of the basic things that you can do and things that you know you will be able to do so that you can do them and then you can see that you've done them and then you know that you can do them. And so next time you look at your list, you know you've already managed to do that once so you can do it again. So it's just a good tool to keep to hand. Now, there is actually a list of things that is recommended as preventative or protective activities, or I guess activities would be the word, that are good to do in the midst of a difficult situation. And we're actually going to be thinking about that for ourselves in a minute, but first let's just go through that and look at some of these things that we can do. So the first thing, say you're in the middle of a traumatic experience. I mean, all of us are, right? With the COVID-19 thing going on, maybe you have fears about your own health or someone that you know, or fears about the future, or maybe something else. Someone you love has a debilitating condition, or you've lost your job, who knows, whatever it is, you're in this situation. What's the first thing that is recommended that we do, that we make sure that we do, is to take care of our physical body? That seems obvious, doesn't it? But not always when you're in the middle of a PTE. Let's see if you guys remember how to use the chat. Let's brainstorm some things that we can do to take care of our bodies. What comes to mind? Taking care of the needs of our bodies. And if you're unable to find the chat, you can unmute yourself and just speak up. Eat well and exercise, first on the list. Yep. And if you were making a list, you might want to think about what that means to eat well. You know, when I'm depressed, eating well means eating a whole lot of ice cream with M&Ms. Secure sustainable food. Walk in the yard, yes. Grow food and eat it. Walk every day. These are great suggestions. How about getting enough sleep? Sleep deprivation can just make everything worse. Pet my cats. Yes, do not underestimate the value of your pets or your friends' pets. Or, this might sound silly, but I have actually seen that there is research showing this to be true. Looking at kitten videos on Facebook can actually make you feel better. So if you don't have your own cat or dog or iguana or whatever you like to pet, and you feel the needs for some cute cuddliness, look up cute animal videos or whatever works for you. Gentle yoga, stretch your body. Keep it supple. Breathe deeply. Eat plants. Drink water. Yes. Exercise. Sunshine. Sleep enough. Pets. Friends. Consume uplifting media. That's a great one there. Nature. Go outdoors. So lots of stuff we can do. And some of this is taking care of not just our physical needs, but our emotional needs also. I'm not sure you can really separate the two. It can, the one affects the other, if you're not getting enough emotional support, you're not going to be able to take care of your body. But if you don't take care of your body, you're not going to be able to do the things that help you emotionally and mentally. Sleep earlier. Look, touch, and feel. That's great. Okay, what about some things for mental, emotional needs that we haven't mentioned? Anything else? I love that the friends and the consuming positive media. Maybe you want to limit your negative, I shouldn't say negative media, because perhaps some people don't find it all negative. But that which you find disturbing, you may want to limit what you're looking at. Okay, Joanna, thanks for joining us. And if you can pop back later, that would be great. If not, do keep in touch. If you're interested in learning more about the upcoming 8-week course, just drop me a line or put it in the chat and I'll make sure that you get on the list for that. Otherwise, we'll see you around. Okay. Yes, avoid exposure to negative politics. Cry when needed. Like a shower, it cleanses. That's great. You don't have to be emotionally strong all the time. Let those emotions happen. And we're actually going to be talking about that a little later on when we look at some feel or focus in techniques. Taking care of our physical and emotional needs. Remember to be awestruck by nature. That's something that can go on the list. These all can, but that's something I had never thought of. Remember to be awestruck by nature. And by the way, if you don't know, you can save the chat window to your own computer at any time. If you click on the three dots down in where you enter into the chat, your text, if you press the three dots, there'll be a thing that says save chat. So if you want to keep these lists, do that. I'm going to try my best to remember to save it myself. But I can't guarantee that I'll remember. So then the other of the two main things is connection. And we've already talked about keeping in touch with friends. And remember that 32-year-long study where one of the main things that the kids who ended up being healthy and happy was that they had a strong connection with someone that was not their parent. So if you don't have someone in your household that is supportive, that you can talk to, you don't isolate. You know, intentionally make connections. Maybe find someone that agrees that you're going to check in with them and they're going to check in with you every day or a couple of times a week. Make sure that you set up good connection support. Chant and sing and meditate, of course. You can never do enough of that. And let go of destructive connections. That's great. Don't hang out with people who aren't going to listen to you or who are going to be focusing on the negative all the time, or in whatever way are not the support and encouragement that you need. It may be that in other times when you're not in the midst of a PTE, that you feel inclined to try and interact with more difficult people. But when you're in the midst of challenge, that's probably not the healthiest thing to do. So try and limit your negative connections, try and foster your positive connections. Ubuntu, contributionism, I am me because we are, Katie says. Yes, and that is the next step that we can look at, is that in addition to one-on-one connections with friends, volunteering, helping others is a really important thing to do. You can either help others in your own social circle, you know, if you're shopping for your elderly neighbor or whatever, or go and volunteer for some organization that you feel aligned with, because then you can look at what you have actually done for someone else. And you may not be able to do it for yourself initially, but you can do it for someone else. And then you look and you see that you've had a positive effect on someone else's life. And that gives you more of that internal locus of control, that sense of self-efficacy. It also draws you out of yourself, and it gives you more momentum to continue with all of these things, taking care of yourself and taking care of others. That's great. Any other connection ideas? You can always come to my Thursday night group or any other social. And in these times, they're probably not going to be physical, or if they are, please, please keep your distance. But, you know, join a group with people who have similar interests, or a support group, or a meditation group, or whatever. Phone someone. Just make sure that you are not isolating, and maybe know who you're going to call if you find that you're beginning to feel isolated and you don't have what it takes to make that call. You've got someone lined up already that knows that if you call, you need, you know, to be there, to listen, whatever it is you arrange with each other, but have that set up. As you pass strangers, serve them and yourself by greeting them in a friendly way. Yes, I love that. Yeah, make eye contact with people who are on the street asking for money or for food. Even if you can't give them something, you can look at them and smile, say a kind word. Katie, who is in Hawaii right now, says, live aloha. You're gonna have to define aloha for those of us who don't live in Hawaii. We'll see if that comes up. Oh, aloha means in the presence of breath. Nice. Okay, good.
In the presence of what?
Breath.
Oh, breath. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yep. All right, and so then the last thing we're going to look at in our journaling today is living according to our values. You know, if we're in the midst of it and we have to make a decision and we're feeling unable to make a decision, either because we don't feel like it matters or because there's too much happening for us to be able to think clearly, or there are two decisions that don't seem either one of them to be good, whatever it is, what do you fall back on to help you make those decisions? What are the things that you find important to live by? You build your own personal sense of value and worth. I don't like to use those words. I'm sure there's better words to use than that. But, your own self-esteem, your own faith in yourself, when you're living according to your own values. Not according to values that someone else says you should have. But your own values. And maybe this should be what we talk about first before connection and eating well and all of that, because this is really where your actions and decisions come out of. And if you're not consciously aware of what your values are, you still have values in there somewhere. And they are impacting your decisions. So that can be a good thing to think about. So that's what we're going to be doing for the next 40 minutes or so, is some journaling. We're going to start off thinking about our values, and I'll put up a list of a bunch of values. These are just to get your mind going. If you don't need them, don't even look at the list. But if you need a little kickstart to get started thinking, read through that until you find something that connects. And then brainstorm with yourself. And then by the end of the 20 minutes, see if you can have honed your values down to a few key values for yourself. Now, a few depends on you. It might be one or two, it might be 15. But just to focus yourself a little bit. I'm not gonna ask anyone to share this, so be honest with yourself. For some people, this is going to be restating what you already know. For other people, it might be the beginning of an ongoing internal discussion. That's gonna be the journal, the values part. And then after about 20 minutes, I'm going to switch the slide and I'll have some questions up that relate to what we were just talking about in terms of self-care and connection and self-efficacy. How are you gonna take care of yourself? Who are you gonna call? That sort of thing. So that you can get to work on your own list of what you wanna remember when you can't remember what to do because things just are falling apart around you. You're not gonna be asked to share this. So however unique your own needs, honor what's important to you. So we'll do that for about 20 minutes. And then when we come back, we'll do a little bit of meditation in motion to wake us up in that sleepy part of the afternoon. And then we'll do some more guided meditation to sort of bring it all together.